If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22 today. Those kids that just sing remind me of something quite often. It's got nothing to do with singing. It's got a lot to do with basketball, and that is that I'm not very good. Let me explain a little bit, because it plays into what we're talking about a little bit today. There was only one sport growing up that I was any good at. Most of you can probably guess what that sport was. It was football. Much of everything else, I was of little skill level. And that proved pretty relevant when I tried basketball when I was a member of six players on the team. Most of you know why I was a vital asset to that team, because I was the only substitute on the team. As we moved forward and I began to play, my skill level proved that I had no opportunity to actually play very much, other than just for a breather every now and again. And on one point, when I was actually in the game, I shot and got fouled. I made the shot, and then I managed to make the free throw also. So I thought I was doing pretty good there for a little while. But reality soon set in a few short minutes later when I shot again, missed, got fouled again, and managed to miss both of those following shots. I soon realized basketball was not my sport. In fact, I'm reminded often on Wednesday and Sunday nights over at the Family Life Center when the likes of Cadence and Chloe will yell, "Brick" or "air ball" as I miss. But oftentimes I realize that I'm no good. But you know what? I keep playing. But even though my skill level did not prove relevant, what it did prove was that though I was no good, I still enjoyed playing. I would continue to play. Many can tell you, as they see me on the cameras, I'm sure, shooting basketball over there, that I still play. And I play for fun, and I'm still lousy at basketball. But what I do not try to do is try to be someone that I'm not. I may go out and play, goof off, have a little bit of fun, but I never pretend to be the best basketball player to ever walk, because I'm frankly not. Since we live in a world where no one wants to fit into the attributes that God made them to be. And this goes so much deeper than just a sports preference. It goes so much deeper than the things we do for fun that we may still be no good at. But we live in a world where people try to fit boundaries that God did not create them to fit. What my story does indicate is a story that most of our world is facing. Our society wants to break gender designations created by God in order to fit somewhere where they never really belonged in the first place. If you would, stand with me as we read God's Word today in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as he reverence her husband. Let's pray. Father, as we bow before you today, posing one simple question. What happened to the nuclear family? Father, we're praying today you would reveal answers, you would reveal truth, and Father, that your Spirit would break our hearts today and show us where we need to draw closer to you, where we need to walk closer. And Father, I pray today that your presence would dwell in this service as it's never dwelled before, and Father, we would feel the movement of God in this place. I say these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. So let's see why this tragedy of what happened to the nuclear family plagues us. First and very simply, it is when boys stay boys. Have you ever noticed this common trend plaguing our nation? Very simply, no one wants to grow up. Boys start out boys, and they never become men. Girls start out girls, and they never really become women. And what I mean by that is, so often in our world, what we're facing is an environment of no one that ever spiritually matures. They never grow in Christ. They never become what God designed them to be. And so let's see what the Bible has to say of men in 1 Corinthians 16:13, when it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." So, let's just ask this question. What was Paul talking about when he was asking for a man to stand firm, for a man to be strong? What was he really saying? Well, he was really telling Corinth that a man needs to stand firm in the face of opposition. A man needs to stand strong when the times get hard. A man needs to be brave. Now, the reality is that masculinity really has nothing to do with what some of us guys may associate it with. Often we hear masculinity, and many of us men think of the most manly things we can find. We want to win every arm wrestling competition that there ever was. We want to watch every sporting event that we can possibly watch, and when hunting season rolls around, kill everything that is in season. But those are not definitions of masculinity. No, masculinity is simply this. It's simply a man that is willing to stand firm. A man that is willing to be brave. A man that is willing to love his wife as Christ loved the church. A man that is willing to be a leader in his household. A man that is willing to live for God even if it's hard. Being a man is simply these truths. So we need to ask today, are we standing firm? Men, are we being strong spiritual leaders in our households? Are we being strong in the face of opposition? What if those oppositions are not even physical? Often we as men think of opposition, we think of a literal, physical opponent. But today, what if instead of a force that is coming for our physical being, is a force that is coming for our families, a force that is coming for our children, a force that is coming for our nuclear opportunity of life? Are we the men we need to be? Brothers and sisters, what if we see a lack of masculinity in men today, and we really wonder why the family has vanished off the face of the earth? We're trying to protect many of our boys from becoming men. We don't teach them what it's like to be brave. We don't teach them what it's like to be bold. And we don't teach them what it's like to stand firm in the face of opposition. I was often reminded as I watched Judson grow up about all the things that little boys want to get into. All the things that they want to mess with and all the times that they want to hurt themselves. In fact, this very week, we were at Mom and Dad's, and their dad had a motorized four-wheeler, and he's laughing because I'm telling a story. I'm not supposed to tell a story, apparently. But he had a motorized four-wheeler, ran off a battery, and it had a 6-volt battery in it. Dad decided to put a 12-volt battery in the four-wheeler to see how fast it would go. That thing would go. And when he was done, Judson began to ask, "Why can't my four-wheeler go faster? I want to go fast." He brought the battery to Katie. "Put this battery in. I want to go fast." He was seeking a natural desire of men. And often I fear that many in our world today take those opportunities to be a man out of the little boy. You see, God gave them those desires, as that's what develops them into men. That sparks curiosity, that sparks bravery. And yes, it's scary often to us, but often we also forget that that is how God made them to be. I say all this simply to remind us that there are times that we need to protect our children. There are times we need to protect our grandchildren. But there are also times we need to let them be who God created them to be. We need to let them be the boys and the girls that God naturally designed in them. And there is also times that we need to be willing to stand up and show them what it's like to be a man or a woman of God. And dads, grandfathers, this starts with us today in our families. What are we displaying to our kids, to our grandkids? We must be the men. But how about for the ladies? What happens when girls stay girls? Mothers, grandmothers, we must ask the same question. What example of a godly woman are you setting for your kids or for your grandkids? The reality of Scripture is this. In Proverbs 14, verse 1, it says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." Have you ever considered the severity of the decisions you make? Just as many men fail to step up and to show biblical masculinity in their lives, many women likewise fall short in biblical femininity. To be a woman who is after God's own heart, to be a woman who seeks to show the actions of what God would have her to show first and not what the world would have her to show. So what is the difference between a woman who builds her house and a woman who tears down her house? Friends, if you consider that self-destruction at its finest may happen within our very homes, that many within our very homes in our nation tear down their home from the inside out and don't even realize it. You see, wise men and women understand how important their influence is. You know, it's sad when we walk around our world and we see mothers and fathers, for that matter, who display lousy examples for their children, and they don't realize the severity of what they're showing them. They're showing them something that they think's funny, something they think's a laugh, and what they're really doing is showing them how not to behave as Christians. And so often, mothers, you forget, how important your influence is. Grandmothers, how important your influence is to your grandkids, to your kids, that you are a pillar of the family. Many of us in here all probably have stories of godly women in our lives. Godly women that we remember seeing who prayed over everything. They didn't let you miss a prayer. Godly women who were willing to stand up for their family and were willing to stand bold in the face of the gospel, in the face of opposition when the gospel was needed. And many of us here remember these ladies and hold them in high esteem. So I pray that each woman, each grandmother, each mother here would be reminded today of what it looks like in their life to lead an example as a pillar in their family. You see, a foolish woman is one who will destroy her home without even knowing it. By not living a life of purity, by not living a life of holiness, by not living a life of humility. So moms, grandmothers, women of God, unknowingly, perhaps knowingly, many girls never become women in spirit and in truth because they don't see it in the example of their life. They don't see a mother who is living out Ephesians 5:22-33. Instead, they see mothers who are living corrupt lives. Same with the fathers. How do we expect a boy to become a man? Is if he looks at his father, he looks at his grandfather, and the actions that they are taking are not that of what God would have them to take. You see, without a lack of development of spiritual masculinity and spiritual femininity, it's no wonder that we see the corruptness of our world. It's no wonder that we see the nuclear family in some ways being attacked. What else could we expect, church? We don't raise our children to be the men and women that God would have them to be. We don't raise our grandchildren to be the men and the women that God would have them to be. How else is our world supposed to go? What are we showing them? What are we showing our kids and our grandkids today? This brings us to this. The removal of the family. You see, these realities indicate this. This is without question. We as men and women are not immune to fault. We've at times failed our kids and our grandkids by the influence that we've had. But the devil has a way to use those weaknesses and to drive a wedge into those weaknesses and to make what was once a very small thought into a big problem. So we can ask the question, what happened to the nuclear family? And we can really simply answer it by understanding, what does the devil do, church? What's his job? To kill, steal, and destroy. To lead us down a path of evil against God's will as men and women. To drive a wedge between the family. Have you ever considered that God designed man and a woman with a natural purpose? You see, He created all of us to be something special, really. And that is to be what He would have us to be. You may ask, how is this relevant to me when I'm still partaking in a nuclear family? You see, the movement of transgenderism and the rest of the LGBTQ agenda, along with feminist rights movements, have hidden their devilish agenda in the name of equality and the name of love. And believe it or not, they're coming for our families. You see, in simpler terms, it's this. Sin has been hidden. They make it look good. They hide it. Remember what the devil's job was? To kill, steal, and destroy. He's corrupt. He's hiding it. Deceptive. So he's driving a wedge into God's creation. And believe it or not, it starts with the influence that we have on our kids and on our grandkids. You see, confusion has came. Many are now following the world instead of the Lord because of the devil's confusion. And believe it or not, this has eliminated all need for a boy to ever become a man or a woman, a girl to ever become a woman. What point is there to grow up and be God's man or be God's woman when it's not what's shown to you? Many of you have became who you became because of the influence people have had in your life. So we really need to begin to ask the question, what kind of influence are we going to have? Brothers and sisters, let us ask this. As the devil's purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy, are we going to let him come after our families? Are we going to let him drive a wedge? Are we going to let him use manipulation and deception to create division among the family? Now, many of you may say, as we still partake in a nuclear family, maybe this doesn't still pertain to me. Well, church, very simply, it's this. If the Lord shall tarry and earth shall continue, what about our future? Maybe your family is still in a standard nuclear family form. But what about your kids? What about your grandkids? What about their kids? What kind of legacy are we going to leave? Who is going to get them? Is the world going to win them over to sin by making it appear as just, by making it appear as love, by making it appear as equality? Or are we going to keep them? If we don't begin to have an influence in the lives of our kids and our grandkids, we will not keep the next generation. We will lose them. Friends, it's time for us to stand up in the face of this opposition. It's time for men to be men and women to be women and to be the ones that God has called us to be. It's time for men to love their wife if Christ would love the church. It's time for women to stand alongside their husbands and to be the helpmate that God would have them to be the warriors of Christ that God would have them to be, and to be that one that often we probably remember that we know was a godly woman or we know was a godly man. So often, I think we look to others and we say, man, I really wish I was that person one day. What's keeping us from being that person? I know I've got family members I look at and say, man, I wish I was as godly as they were. I wish I was able to achieve the kind of things that they were able to achieve and do the things that they were. What's holding us back? Why aren't we having that kind of influence? Why are we letting the devil have a wedge in our life? So men, do we follow the standard that God has for us as men? Women, do we follow that standard? Friends, how can we expect our families and our friends to come to know and come to love Jesus if we ourselves cannot set an example of love, of the love of Christ? If they cannot see it in us, is it any wonder that we're losing them? I'm certain today there are some in here who perhaps can recognize that they have went against some kind of role as a man or a woman of God. They've not followed Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. And they're not living the life God would have them to live. And friends, the realities are that though we may have made mistakes in this battle, it's never too late. It's never too late to turn the tides of the nation that God can do it. And God can still win the battle, and He will win the battle. But what are we going to do? Are we going to sit stagnant? There are men who have not been godly leaders, who have not stood firm. They have failed God by not being brave in the face of opposition. They have not treated their wives as Christ would the church, and they have not stood boldly against the evil of the world. And there are women who have not stood as the cornerstone of their families. They've not been a godly helpmate. They've not stood against the evil of the world as they should have. And friends, today can turn the tides in your families. You can begin to have the influence of those great Christians that you remember. But you must break the cycle of sin. You must break the cycle of trying to be someone that God has not created you to be. And you must come and repent of that truth today. If you're here today and we realize that a nation is falling into evil, corrupt times, perhaps we say, I feel like I'm already trying my hardest to be that cornerstone or to be that husband or that wife or that man or that woman. We can all recognize one thing, a nation that is falling behind, that we're losing ground. And time is urgent. And so we must decide today. Are we going to let them get our next generation? I have a wonderful opportunity to get to be here every day and spend time in our school and with the kids in our school. Many of you don't get such an opportunity. Some of you work with kids every day. It's a great place to be. I can tell you this much. Those early years of a child's life are the most influenced. If I've learned one thing, it's that if I say something to one of the younger kids here at the beginning of the year, making a joke or playing or whatever, they may remember it for the rest of the year. They may remember it beyond the year. They don't forget it. The influence we have on the children of our life are significant, and we need to decide what impact we're going to have on them. They will remember it, and it will shape who they're going to be. So are we going to let the world have them, or are we going to seek that Christ would have them first? Are we going to try to allow the world to fit them into boundaries that God didn't create them to fit into? Are we going to allow God's Holy Spirit to show us where perhaps today, just maybe, we could grow? Just maybe there's a place in our life where we need to say, God, I have failed as an influence here as a man or woman of Christ. I have come short. But today is the day that the tides turn. Sin has taken the nuclear family from us, but it's time for the family to return to the way that God had intended for them to be, and that is for the man to be a godly man, a woman to be a godly woman, and to have godly influence on their kids. But if we're going to have that godly influence, here in a few minutes, this altar is going to open. And we're going to have an opportunity to repent of those failures. You see, that's the wonderful part of our God, isn't it? That even in the most despairing, dark times, hope is never lost. That even if we may be losing the battle in the short run, we can still win it in Jesus' name if we would just come and be the men and the women that God would have us to be today. So today, as we have this opportunity, and as Marty's going to come and Liza's going to come in just a moment and lead us, we must decide if we are going to change the tides of our life today. Are we going to change the generation with our lives today? Are we going to influence them for God? I'm certain many of us here can find failures and faults in our life. Times where we were not the men and the women that God would have us to be. And I'm just going to ask each of us today, if God has revealed to you, the Holy Spirit has revealed to you today, those shortcomings in your life, I have them. We've all had them. Would you just come today and ask for repentance on those shortcomings? Ask that He would make you the man or the woman of influence that you want to be. That you see in others, that He would have you to be. Because this is really the opportunity that we have. Friends, there's no better time than today to see the tides of our nation change, and it can start right here in Green Valley Baptist Church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we bow before You on this holy day, in this holy moment. But Father, You have presented us an opportunity to be the man, to be the woman that You would have us to be. And Father, I pray that as Brother Marty comes here in just a moment, that You would lead us, as Your Holy Spirit would see fit, to come to this altar, Father, and to kneel and to bow and to pray and cry out to You. But Father, today is the day that the tides may turn in our lives. Father, today is the day that we may be who You have called us to be. That we wouldn't wait another minute to be that man of influence, that woman of influence, and that leader. But Father, that we would be that today. Father, I pray today that if there's one here who's never made a decision to follow You with their life, and they say, I need to be that man, to be that woman, to cry out to God and ask Him to forgive me of my sins. Father, I pray that person would come today. Father, if there be one here who has witnessed this baptism this morning, this miraculous moment that says today, I need to be baptized, it's what's right. Father, would they come today? And Father, in this holy moment, as all heads are bowed, as Marty is beginning to come and music's beginning to play in just a moment, would Your Spirit move and would it break our hearts? Father, what about the next generation? Father, we want them. So Father, I'm just going to say today, I pray that each one of us here who says we want the next generation would come forward and pray that You would give us the next generation. I say these things in Your name. Amen.